Stand before you, I beg an interest in your prayers. Yesterday at Bethlehem, I prefaced my remarks by saying I was going to speak about a certain subject. You know, I never did that. I realized that I didn't do it. I want to do it. I want to do it. So please pray for me that the Lord would bless. This morning, the Apostle Paul in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, familiar verse to, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. He wanted the church at Corinth to have confidence in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In reading the accounts, the gospel accounts of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I just want to say this, those accounts aren't there to prove the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to you. That's not what they're there for. When those gospel writers wrote that, they could just go talk to people. They could just go speak to someone who had seen the resurrected Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul said there was 500 men that you could go to and talk to, and they would tell you that they saw Jesus. Now I want to go to the 24th chapter of the writings of Luke, and go to the 13th. The 13th verse of the 24th chapter. Now, I know what. You know, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. And brethren, he wasn't taken there by the hands of strong men. There was nothing that the Lord Jesus Christ ever did that he was forced to do, my Ben. You know, it's wonderful to consider the strength and power, you know, of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. We can go to the cross of Calvary and we can see redemption. That the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed his people upon the cross of Calvary. You know, there's an Old Testament scripture. He said he set his face like flint. The leaders in Jerusalem, they had determined that they were not going to take Jesus during the feast day. They said, no, it's not during that feast day. They were afraid of the crowds now. And so they determined they weren't. But you know, they did. By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross on Passover. He went to the cross on Passover now. And he's going to talk to two of his disciples who are in unbelief now. In unbelief. You know, you would think that, if you'd heard the Lord Jesus Christ preach, you would think that if you knew that Lazarus had come forth from the tomb now, you'd think that if you knew that Jesus walked upon the waters of the Sea of Galilee, you knew he had calmed the storm, that he had preached the gospel of peace, that you'd remember it. But you know, they forgot, because they relied on themselves. You know what we are, of ourselves. We're vanity. We're vanity of ourselves. And Jesus come forth from the tomb now, just like he said. And you can go to the Matthew, the 28th chapter, and it talks about an angel's coming down. They rolled away the stone now. They sat upon it. Oh, the power of Rome was sitting there. They had soldiers there and they became as dead men. There was a seal of Caesar that Pilate had placed on the tomb. But you know, it represented the authority of the world. But you know, the authority of the world doesn't have any authority over the Creator God. You know, that... we're confused these days. You know, the world's confused these days. There's a religion of science. You know, people say, well, you know, this is exactly how it happened, a billion years ago. This is exactly how it happened, and they'll explain how life began. And they've got theories, you know. Isn't it wonderful that they have theories? But you know what? When you've got facts, it's time to throw the theories away. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. What I want to say about Jesus is he's the creator God. And God was manifest in the flesh. He came for a purpose. You know, the angel stated his purpose. He came to save his, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Gabriel said. He said, for he shall save his people from their sin. You know, I don't know if you use this term here, but they used to call us hard shell out of Baptists. And that's exactly where we got it. You know, we're hard shell Baptists. Because, you know what, I want to, and you pray for me, I want to let the scriptures say what they say. You know, I'm not dissatisfied with the Word of God. There are things in the Word of God that condemn me. There are things that rebuke me. But brother, this is the Word of God. Here is truth. Here is truth. And it was true the day that it was given by the inspiration of God unto the writers. And it's still true today. You know, and it'll be true tomorrow. And it'll be true when Jesus comes again, just as he said. So let me go to the 13th verse. It says, behold, two of them. You know, Jesus had come forth from the tomb. And they'd received a report that they knew that Jesus had proclaimed exactly what was going to happen now. And it happened exactly as Jesus said. So, brother, that ought to give us confidence, shouldn't it? So let me go to the scripture. And he says that, and behold, two of them went that same day. This is Sunday morning. This is Sunday. To a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together, they reasoned. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that she should not know him. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. You know, I've looked at this scripture many times, and I'm a work in progress. And I used to say, well, Jesus disguised himself some way. They were supernaturally prevented to knowing this was Jesus. And, you know, I've backed off on that. You know, I've discovered that myself, when I get so wrapped up in myself, when we get so taken with the events around us, you know, we'll sometimes not see what's right with us, what's right there. You know, if you go out and you try to face the trials of life by these hands. You know, there used to be an old song, "These Hands." Then, brother, you're not going to win the trials of life. You're not going to win the trials of life. You know, in this world, ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So, you know, I just wonder if these disciples, that they were so wrapped up in themselves, they didn't see Jesus right there. They didn't see him right there. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? But, you know, they questioned him, how can you possibly not know what's going on? What has happened? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Well, you know, Jesus, he was a prophet. He was a prophet. And he says, mighty in deed and word. No, they knew the great things that the Lord Jesus Christ had done. They knew the great gospel that he preached. He says, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not the body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said, but him they saw not. So they heard all these stories. Mary and the other Mary and Johanna, they had went. And they had told Peter, and Peter went, and the stone was rolled away, and they looked. They saw that Jesus was gone, that he wasn't there, that he had risen. Mary had given her report of the angels. You know that the scriptures say that Peter went back to his house. He went back to his house. And that they just wondered about these things. And then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know, I've often daydreamed. I've often meditated upon this sermon right here. You know, God preached the gospel to Adam and Eve in the garden, didn't he? He told them the promise of a son, the seed of the woman. That's in Genesis. And you can go to Malachi, and it talks about the son of righteousness. And I thought, well, there's Genesis to Malachi. But I also know, you know, this is types and shadows preaching. I also know that the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, that's talking about Jesus. And the reason I know that is the scriptures tell me it's talking about Jesus. That Jesus is in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Because that's what Philip preached to the eunuch. Because he was reading the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. You know, when Joshua was standing outside Jericho, the walls of Jericho, he looked up And he saw a man with a sword. You know, and Joshua didn't know who he was. And he walked over and he said, "Are you with us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "As the captain, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. I'm the captain of the Lord's host." And he told him to take his shoes off, for the ground that he was upon was holy ground. And he worshiped him. He worshiped the captain of the Lord's host. You know, angels don't accept worship. They don't accept worship. Jesus was there. You know, there are so many places in the scriptures that, you know, I thought of this too. You know, Phinehas and Hophni, the sons of Eli. You know, they were in a great battle against the Philistines. And they were not doing well. And so they said, "Let's take the Ark of the Covenant out there to battle with us. That gold box, let's take that out there with us." And so they did, and the Philistines captured it. You know, that good luck charm didn't do them any good. But the Philistines, they took it and placed it in front of Dagon, their god. And Dagon, their god, fell down before it. You know, they put Dagon back up. You know, isn't that what the way we are? You know, we'll help these worldly gods out. You know, I read one time they decided that life began when a tail of a comet, billions of years ago, the tail of the comet got so close to the earth that the elements, and there's something living on the tail of that comet, brushed on the earth, and that's how life began. Now, I think that was accepted for 60, 70 years until somebody said, how'd life get on the tail of the comet? And so then they rejected that and they moved on to something else. You see what I'm saying is they helped it out. You don't have to help out the Word of God. We just have to let it say what it says. You know, the gospel proclaims the Lord Jesus Christ victorious and plain. All of the scriptures proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ plain. You know, he says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures and things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him. You know, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. They constrained him. Is it possible to constrain the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, my word picture of constrain, you know, in my mind, they held on to him now. They wanted him, and then I thought, well, you know, if you draw nigh unto God, will he draw nigh unto you? Isn't that the promise of the scriptures? That if we'll draw nigh, you know, and I thought, well, here we are. How do you draw nigh unto God? How do you draw nigh unto God? You know, David knew. You just got to step away from the world. That's how you draw nigh unto God. You've got to step away. So they constrained him. (clears throat) saying, "Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. They knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. You know, do you suppose that when Jesus took the bread and broke it, they saw his hands? They saw his hands, his nail-pierced hands. You know, Thomas needed to see him, didn't he? You know, Jesus went on and he disappeared from the sight of these two disciples. He had caused their hearts to burn within them. And they got up. It was towards evening. It was late, but they got back. They wanted to tell somebody about it. They wanted to tell somebody. But Jesus appeared in the upper room, that closed upper room, and you know, Thomas wasn't there. And he showed himself to his disciples. I'll close with this. And his disciples, they told people about it. They told about it. And they told Thomas. You know, he said, unless I see it. You know, Jesus, he showed himself to Thomas. He offered his hands. I don't know if Thomas ever actually touched him, because he offered his to be touched. I want to touch Jesus. I want to lay my head upon his breast like John did. Because Jesus lives, his children live, his brethren live. All that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. Brethren, it's something that should give us confidence through faith that we'll be looking for the day. You know, he conquered death. That's what happened in the tomb. He conquered death. And Paul said he's brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. That isn't it wonderful? You know, the Jews had an advantage. They had the scriptures. We have an advantage. We have the scriptures. You know, I said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable. We need to let the scriptures say what they say, and we need to invest in them. We need to seek the Lord Jesus Christ through the scriptures. We need to rest on the finished work of the Lord. You know, he opened the scriptures to them. When he got to Jerusalem, he opened their understanding. Brother, that's what we need. We need the scriptures and understanding. I hope you'll consider that this morning. Come ahead, brother, preach for us.
A few more years.